saying about the things that we really are appreciative for, and so many things get overlooked. We spend a lot of time with family during the week, some we really love to be with and some that we can't wait to get rid of. That's just life, just family. But it really occurred to me over the last couple of weeks after this election thing took place and all the marches and protests and riots by mostly, you know, college-age students, not all, but a lot of, I started thinking, said, what have these parents been teaching kids? And how many of them are out there Christians doing this, who may be Christians undercover, but just taking part of a greater thing? It's like, you know what, as parents, we have a responsibility to teach our kids to be a blessing to others. Not to harm others by ugly rhetoric, by ugly words, by harming them in some way, defaming them. We have a responsibility to teach them to be a blessing to other people. And God's Word clearly teaches that for us as Christians. So as we think about family time coming up this Thanksgiving, we have to really be focused on what are we teaching our kids? What are we teaching our grandkids? If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans chapter 12. Learning to bless other people. Teaching our families. Growing a godly family. Charles Schwab said, when a man puts a limit on what he will do, he has put a limit on what he can do. And we limit our families when we fail to invest in them, teaching them the very elements, the very essence of what it means to be a Christian and how to live a life that will be a blessing to other people. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Verse 9 through 17, Paul gives us great insight and great instruction about how we should treat one another. And listen, we cannot just assume that our kids will pick it up. I had the privilege this past Friday of sitting in to judge the Teacher of the Year Awards. Let me tell you what, there are some phenomenal teachers in Evangeline Parish. Phenomenal teachers. Never let anyone say anything negative about your school system and your teachers. Believe me, they're great. But those teachers see a lot of students every day in and day out who come to them who are hurting, who've been neglected. Many come without the proper clothing, not much clothing, a lot of times with holes and all kind of things. And many times they'll have a test and they've been up all night because mom and daddy have been fighting. Or because of gunfire from drug things going out on the street. And they're showing up at a classroom to be taught the next day. Maybe 1-2 hours of sleep. Oh, listen, those teachers have to teach those kids to be a blessing. But listen, it has to start in a home. It has to start in a home. We as Christians must not only be blessings ourselves, but must also teach others to be blessings, starting in our own family. Paul says this in beginning in verse 9 of Romans 12. He said, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. We need to underline that in our Bible. Never be lacking for zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. You can underline that one also. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. And do not be conceited. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Let's pray together. Father God, today, This is a message, Lord, that we can reflect on our own life and how we invest in our own children. What are we teaching them? Are we teaching them how to get along with others and how to love one another? Father, too often we just assume that they'll pick it up. And sometimes, God, we're not modeling what we need to be modeling to them. Lord, let this day be a time of your Spirit speaking to us. And God, maybe areas in our own life that we need to give over to you, areas that we need to improve on, teach us, God, today. In your name we pray, amen. Mother Teresa said, let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile. Apostle Paul encouraged the Christians to live godly lives, and exercise their spiritual gifts. Then he encourages them to live out the greatest gift of all to others, the gift of loving them and being a blessing to them in their lives. Just a simple gift of being a blessing to someone else. Listen, a lot of times people consider blessings material things. Well, I have this job, I have this kind of bank account, I have this house, this car, all these material things. Listen, those are blessings, but really those are very low blessings compared to what God really wants. The real blessings come from inside of here, and we give to others. There are five elements this morning that we should teach our families so they can learn to be a blessing to others. The first element is love other people. We cannot stress that enough, to love other people. Christians must value people and love them without prejudice. So we are to move beyond our own biases and judgmental attitudes and grow in purity and Christ-like love. Verse 9 from the New International Version says, love must be sincere. But listen to it in the New American Standard Version. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. We say that we love other people, but sometimes we limit our love. As Charles Schwab says, sometimes we limit what we do. And if we limit what we do, then we can't do a whole lot. See, our attitude toward other people, even those who do not like us or agree with us, we should have sincere love for them. There are a lot of people who will not agree with you in life. And whether you know it or not, there are probably a few people that don't even like you. I've learned that. There are people, it doesn't matter how much you love them, they're just not going to like you. Love them anyway. The Christian love that we claim must be real. Have real intention. Have real purpose. Not something that we just profess. Do you truly love other people, or do you hold prejudice against some people who do not fit into your mold of friends? You'd be surprised. Well, I love everybody. There's nobody I hate. But boy, there's certain people come around, we just kind of move away from them. We just kind of walk the other way. We'll walk into a room, and that's the last group of people I'll go sit by. I'll go sit by this group. A lot of times we do it unintentionally. A lot of times we do it without even realizing what we're doing. Do you love lost people? Do you love those people who cannot benefit you at all in life? Do you love those people who cannot help you move up in your career? Do you love those people who cannot contribute to you at all? That's genuine love. When they can't do anything good for you in your life, move you forward anyway, but you still love them. You realize that Jesus died for the most hardened criminals. Those who could never do anything to earn his love. Why? Because he loved them, not their action. He truly loved them, and he loved them genuinely. If we do not love people with sincerity, then it is impossible to teach our children to love others genuinely without prejudice or hold anything back. If we're not demonstrating that Christ-like love, that love that Jesus had for us, listen, we were all dying sinners. We deserve no love from Christ, but he gave us all the love that he had. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his love for us, even in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's without prejudice. Christian love moves us beyond emotion. It speaks through action. As we think about what are we teaching kids, our children, what are we teaching them through our actions? Not just what we say at the dinner table, not just what in the car going to school, but what do we tell them and what do we demonstrate to them through our actions? Our family learns how to love other people beyond our attitude and actions toward others. See, according to verse 10, it says we should be devoted to one another in brotherly love. When a neighbor calls you, they need some help. Or they need this, or they need that. How do you respond to them? Somebody's going to say, well, Brother Kevin, it depends on how many times they've called before. Does it trouble me any? If it's in the middle of an LSU game, will I stop and go? After yesterday, probably so. Devotion is the same context as commitment and loyalty. See, we teach our children to love other people and to be committed to them. Are you devoted to people that you come to church with? Are you loyal to one another? See, if we are not devoted to one another, Christian brothers and sisters, how will we ever be devoted to a lost world? If we can't love one another and be committed to one another and devoted to one another and loyal to one another, how will we ever show a lost world that we can love them and be loyal to them? Christ's love flowing through us for one another as brothers and sisters, but also to a lost world. Honor one another above yourselves, verse 10 says. Honor one another above yourselves. Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, and then Paul comes back and ups ante a little bit. He said, you should love your neighbor more than your own self. Treat them better than you would yourself. What does that look like? Well, if I have $15 in my pocket, my neighbor needs to eat, do I give him the 10 or the 5? According to this verse, he gets the 10, we keep the 5. See, that goes totally against our natural desire. That goes against what we would do, our normal do. We would pull out the 5 and probably search for a 1. But what Paul is challenging us, it says, love your neighbor above yourself. Treat them better than you would yourself. You take the 10 and you hand it to them. You eat the Happy Meal and let them buy the deluxe burger. Putting the rubber to the road. We are to demonstrate and teach our family Christian love that esteems other people better than ourselves. And this blows our self-centered mentality out with this Christian perspective. You see, the second element. The second element to become a blessing and to teach our family how to be a blessing is this: to be spiritually minded. As Christians, we need to be spiritually minded. So often we want to be worldly minded. We want to get in the flesh and we want to treat things just like we would, like the rest of the world would. But the Bible is telling us we need to be spiritually minded. Christians must learn to focus on godly purposes through life's challenges. What's God doing through this? See, life's challenges can erode our optimism and hope if we're not spiritually minded. We'll see every challenge as God being against us rather than God trying to build us up. See, verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. What Paul is encouraging us to do, it doesn't matter what comes our way, understand that God is doing something through it. He allowed it to happen for a purpose and for a reason. We don't understand it right now, but we will. The old song says, by and by. We'll understand what God is doing. The more we know about Christ and learn to trust Him, the more we focus. The more focused we become on His purposes, even when life throws us a lot of challenges. This godly focus comes when we renew our minds in Christ. Verse 2 of chapter 12 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way that we'll be spiritually minded is if we allow the Holy Spirit to renew our mind. And that renewal becomes every day. When we're spiritually filled with the Holy Spirit every day, that's the only way that we'll stay spiritually minded. Because, boy, listen, we'll slip right back on into the same old way that we used to before Christ. Why? Because we live in a world with billions of people who are not Christians. And there's so many things in society that are against Christianity. And if we're not careful, we'll not be spiritually minded, we'll begin to have a thought pattern exactly like that. We must teach not only live a spiritually minded life to see what Christ is doing in every situation, we must teach our kids how to live a godly life with a spiritual mindset. And when we do, we'll learn that every situation that comes can be a blessing to someone. When our minds are renewed, we can live to be a blessing for others. As a blessing, you teach your children, verse 12 says, to be joyful in hope. To be joyful in hope. When the air conditioner goes out, it's the middle of the summertime, says be joyful in hope. No, we usually want to mumble. I'm guilty. When others see peace and joy in our lives, it gives hope through Christ. I love being around those people. It doesn't matter what comes, they don't get rattled. Godly people, they just have this presence about them that it doesn't matter what comes their way, they don't get rattled about it. They don't get upset. They don't go on a big rant. They don't get on a big tangent out here. It's going to be okay. You know, the Lord hasn't let us down yet. We're going to be fine. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult getting through, but we'll be okay. Listen, don't you love being around those people? And if you're hardwired and get excited, that may aggravate you because they're too calm. But listen, they're joyful in hope because, listen, it doesn't matter what happened. It didn't disrupt their joy that comes from the Lord. Listen, they may not be happy because of a situation. Because of the happenings. Happiness is based on happenings. But their joy is still strong. When others see this peaceful joy that gives them hope through Christ, and the joy overflows from their life into the lives of others. Verse 12 says, be patient in affliction. When Christians demonstrate patience through troubles, we exhibit God's power in our life. When we exhibit patience in a situation, we exhibit God's power in our life. How many ever prayed for patience? And when it came the hard way, didn't it? Why? Because God wanted to show you His power in your life. That's what He wanted to show. Other people draw strength from us when we stand in God's power. It says, above all, be spiritually minded by your faithfulness to communicate with God. If you want to be spiritually minded, be a person of prayer. We want to teach our kids how to be spiritually minded, teach our kids how to pray. Listen, when they're real small, you teach them how to pray the little simple prayers. Then you let them begin to allow them to pray at the dinner table. Teach them how to pray beyond the little small prayers that we gave them, the little sweet, little cute things. That's the beginning. But we have to grow them off of that so where they're communicating with God. Listen, if we teach our kids how to pray for others, they'll be a blessing to them. One of the greatest things you can do anywhere, it doesn't matter if it's in a hospital, doesn't matter if it's at home, at a ball game, in a grocery store. If somebody's giving you a need in their life and they're telling you what's going on, it's okay to stop. Can I pray for you now? Yes, I can. Yeah, you can pray for me. And they'll bow their head and they'll take that prayer. That's how we can be a blessing to others. But we won't pray for them if we're not spiritually minded. We'll sit there and listen to their situation, the issue, and we'll, oh, I'm so sorry you're going that. And the old famous Baptist cliche, please don't use this, bless your little heart. Please don't use that. That's so insincere. Bless your little heart. Be spiritually minded. Communicate with God on behalf of others. Offer prayer for them. Take time to pray with them. Listen, if you're on Facebook and somebody's asking for prayer and you're putting on there, pray, I'll pray for you, stop what you're doing and pray for them. Right there. John Calvin said, all the blessings we enjoy are divine deposits committed to our trust on this condition that they should be dispensed for the benefit of our neighbors. All the gifts that God has given us was just not for our enjoyment, but that we should encourage, edify, lift up the church, and pour into others. The third element is this, of becoming a blessing. Learning how to be a blessing ourselves, but not only ourselves, how to teach our children, our family, how to be a blessing. It's to be generous. To be generous. Families must be taught the virtues of kindness and generosity, which compels them to bless others. You notice as children growing up, I had raised four, and now I have a grandson. And listen, when they're little bitty, they're selfish. They're mean. No, they're selfish. They want for themselves. They have to be taught how to share. You remember going through that with share your toys and share your colors and all those little things. That's fun, but it's investing in them because you know by teaching them to share, there's a long-term value for it. Just being generous. Verse 13 says, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Share with God's people who are in need. Generosity and kindness are motivated by a heart of compassion. Great mission efforts are launched to help relieve suffering of people of the world. It's called the social gospel. The social gospel is where the church shows generosity to others around them who are hurting for a purpose so that we can earn the right to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Generosity. The old cliche, caring is sharing, has great depths of truth. What are you doing to teach your family to be a blessing through generosity? Around Christmas time and Thanksgiving, it's easy because it's like most of the country begins to focus on giving. Even people who are non-Christian are beginning to focus on giving. You know, Thanksgiving is coming up, and so we want to share. We go into the homeless shelters and things of that nature, and there's so many people who want to volunteer during this time. And I'll just put a plug in for the homeless shelters. There's still homeless people the other, you know, months of the year, too. The other 10 months besides November and December, there's still homeless people. If you want to volunteer, they would be glad to help for your help. Generosity. We do the Christmas boxes. Listen, this is one way through Samaritan's Purse, which is a ministry by Franklin Graham, have the shoebox ministry. This is a way that you get your family involved. Today, they're bringing the boxes tomorrow, so if you hurry today, you can bring them back. Fill this up after church today and bring it back and give it to Miss Sally. But listen, that's how we teach our kids how to give to others and how to invest in other people. Show generosity from the parents to bless others. Dorothy Dix said, make no mistake about it, responsibility toward other human beings are the greatest blessings God can give us. To whom much is given, much is required. We live in the country that's the most wealthy of all the world. We have been blessed so much. And there's a reason God did it. So that we'd be a blessing to the world. God established the United States of America so that the gospel ministry can go around the world. And with that gospel ministry goes the generosity of Christian people. To lift others up and show them what Christ can do in their life. Teaching our kids how to be generous to those who are in need. The fourth element of becoming a blessing and teaching our kids is to be an encouragement. Listen, we need to be an encouragement for other people. Are you an encourager? Are you naturally an encourager that is a gift that God has given you? Or do you have to work at it? There are some Christians that need to work at it. I'm going to be honest. There are some Christians that they're just negative people. They're just not real good encouragers. That's not a gift that the Spirit has given to them. So they have to work on that. But it's just what we're called to do. It's called to give that kind word to someone, to give someone a compliment. It's encouraging words and actions are blessings to those needing to be uplifted. And listen, encouraging words won't cost you a penny. Nothing. Matter of fact, it will only cost you about one breath and give a word. Encouragement for others can be one of the richest blessings poured into someone's life. The student who's struggling to make a good grade. The teenager who's been duped by his friends. Single moms trying to make life work and ends meet. The teacher trying to inspire learning. And leaders faced with difficult choices. We all need encouragement. And we need to be encouragers. Kind words, inspiring comments can be contagious. It's amazing when you begin to pour into someone's life and you just begin to lift them up and give them encouraging words, you'd be surprised that person that you've encouraged, how they may use your own words to encourage someone else. They'll just pour it into someone else's life. It's contagious. When someone helps you and you're just having a bad day, things aren't going right, the dog's sick and the car's broke, and listen, all these things going on. Man, you're just having a bad Monday, and it's not even Monday. And somebody comes along with you, and man, they're just like a magnet. They just begin to pour things into you and just say, give you compliments, just help you out and help you see a different aspect of what's going on. Wow, man, that just lifts you. That's contagious for you to want to give to someone else. It may be a week later, a day later, it may be that same day. You'll remember what that person said. Why? Because it stirred your emotions. It stirred you. And when something stirs you and you hang an emotion to it, it sticks with you. Guys, you ever wanted to remember, you want to know a secret why your wife remembers things that you don't remember? It just went by you because she clamps on an emotion to it. She clamps emotions on so many things. So it sticks with her because she remembers the way it made her feel. Guys, if we could get touched into that a little bit more, our memories would help, would be benefited. Listen, when someone gives you an encouraging word, you stick an emotion to it because it made a difference in you, and you give it to someone else. Verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Teaching our kids to speak kind words to those who even gossip about us, who don't really like us, who talk about us behind our backs. Just teaching our kids not to talk about them, not to gossip about them. Don't belittle them because they're sinning. Doesn't mean we need to sin with them. No. It's to heap that coals of kindness on their head so that the Holy Spirit can bring conviction. Listen, it's to teach our kids that. How to choose battles and choose them wisely. Our kids learn how to react to things the way we react to them. If we blow our cool, if we're an emotional basket case, you know what? Don't be surprised if our daughters are emotional basket cases or our sons are emotional basket cases. Why? Because we've never taught them how to deal with life in a healthy way. We're not dealing with it in a healthy way. choose our battles wisely. We cannot say positive, uplifting comments and be encouragement to others. It's best not to say anything at all. To be a parent who's an encourager, and to teach our family to be a family of encouragement, we must learn to empathize with other people. Try to see life through them. Verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. Paul is telling us, listen, that we need to see life through their eyes for even just a season, then we'll understand what they're going through, and then we'll have compassion for them, and we'll want to help them along. Teach our family to be a blessing to encouragement. We must teach them to empathize with others, to help them to be sensitive to their needs. Try seeing life through their eyes. Imagine walking in their shoes. It will help your desire to encourage others. Listen, church, let's be real. Too often we want to criticize someone who's caught up in a sin. And there are a lot of Christians who want to be judgmental over them. Listen, don't be judgmental over somebody else who sins differently than you do. We want to look at a certain lifestyle and say, oh, look how wrong they are. And we'll go to the Bible and we'll start finding scriptures how despicable that is. How God holds judgment on that. But in our own pride, we'll say nothing. Teach our family how to understand and see life through their eyes. And then it'll stir our compassion toward them. And realize that we're all in the same boat. We all need Jesus Christ as Savior. And we all need to go in the same direction. And the devil's against us all. Teach your family to be interested in lives of others. You will make more friends in 3 months by being interested in others than you can in 3 years by trying to get others to be interested in you. Be an encouragement. Teach your children to see the best in people. Andrew Carnegie said this, no man becomes rich unless he enriches others. The last element, and we're closing. To be a blessing, to teach others to be a blessing, is humility. Humility. As Christians, we can have a dose of humility every day. Humility is a conscious choice to live in submission to Christ's authority in your life. Humility is an attitude. We'll say it like this. It's an attitude of gratitude, okay? For God's blessings in your life. You empty yourself of all your prideful actions and attitudes, which self-elevate your talents, your skills, your ability, your accomplishments. Empty yourself of that, and you can only empty yourself of that through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. We see in verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, here Paul tells us. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. He mentions it twice. Don't be proud, don't be conceited. Associate people of low position. Friends, all of our talents and skills and accomplishments do not grant us elevated position with God. People may flatter us, they may admire our work, may appreciate our sacrifices, but listen, we're nothing without Christ. Nothing without Christ. Must be careful that we do not become prideful of our own self-image of humility. You know, there are people who are prideful because they feel they're humble. Because they feel they have humbled themselves. In reality, they're fooling themselves and they're very prideful. And they won't reach out to help those who are in need. Jesus did not forget who he was. Think about it. He did not forget where he came from or where he was going. He was a king who left everything to suffer and die for a bunch of sinful people, ungrateful people, most of whom will mock him and reject him. Even the people today who are marching around America in the major cities who hate God, who don't want anything to do with God, Jesus still loves them. And he left his kingdom to die on a cross for them, just like he did for us. He left everything. He died and he resurrected from the dead simply because he loves us. Jesus associated with the lowest people known during its day. Look at that group of people. Go back in the Gospels and look at those bunch of that motley crew of people he hung out with. The lowest of the low. People, listen, thieves, and robbers, and prostitutes. All those people were following him. Those who had leprosy and been healed. Those who were lame, the outcasts of all their society. Those are the people that Jesus hung out with. And the Pharisees, the church people, said, why is he hanging out with tax collectors and sinners? Because that's the people Jesus came and died for. Listen, church, when we get so arrogant that we don't want to hang out with those people, we're in trouble. We have a prideful attitude that God can't even use. Our heart is so hardened, it's so calloused up, that we can't see through the eyes of Christ how much he loves those people. We need a good dose of humility. Jesus associated with the lowest of known in his day, and he came to give them hope and transform their lives. We do give people hope in Jesus and share his love with them when we visit with them and treat them as valuable creations loved by the Savior. Teach your family, teach your children, teach your grandchildren the virtue of humility and mingling with others who may not have the same advantages in life. That's what Jesus would do. And that's what we want to teach our kids, teach our family. How would Jesus handle himself in different situations? Five essential elements to learn to be a blessing. First of all, is to love other people unconditionally. Second of all, is be spiritually minded. Third, be generous. The fourth is to be an encourager. And the last is live out humility. Live a life reflective of the love that God has for us. Let's pray together. Father God.